Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode zero. That's right, folks. This is episode zero of the brand new Planning Face Syndicate Star Wars Unlimited podcast. That's right, folks. Tonight, this syndicate has decided to descend on everybody so that hopefully you can learn and talk to us a little bit about Star Wars Unlimited. Essentially, we originated as an X-Wing podcast and decided that we wanted to branch out and start doing Star Wars Unlimited content. I have a card game playing background. I play competitively in Destiny. I played a little bit in Magic, not as competitively, but did play a little bit of Magic here and there, and some Flesh and Blood. And what we decided is we wanted to actually start out by talking through a brand new card game that has just come out in the last couple of months and introduce you to a new segment or a new portion of our show. Now, with that being said, let me introduce you with the most. Please welcome to the show, JJ, the Thrawn lover. How are you today, JJ?
I am excited. Thrawn is my favorite commander in the game as well. Pretty much when the game first came out and I started playing it, it was back in during PAX when I got to first try it. The first thing I was like, is Thrawn available? And as soon as I found out he was, I went in and started building my decks for him. What little information we're getting at the time for up cards and stuff. And that was my first deck that I built and the commander I played the most out of in the game. He is just my favorite character. And the way his decks work is right. It's in right with my playstyle. So I love it.
Awesome. We also have joining us Alex, the Benchwarmer. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. Actually, I played in a little best of three tournament earlier today out in Howell at Upkeep Games. Never been there before. Really cool place. Would definitely want to go back, but the timing between that and this podcast is a little dicey.
Fair enough. So tonight we are going to be introducing you to the unlimited portion of our syndicate. Essentially, if you don't know who we are a podcast that originally started as an X-Wing podcast talking to all things X-Wing. If you don't know what X-Wing is, it is a miniatures game that has little tiny spaceships with points and different cards, and you fly and blow other ships up. Sometimes you pick up a crate, sometimes you just fly off the board, which is what JJ likes to do all the time, and other times you win games that you shouldn't. So we decided, all three of us started playing Unlimited back in, I think, November-December-ish is when we kind of started dabbling in it. I was a little skeptical at first because FFG had a hard time with Destiny, and I got into that game. I literally own, you can see in the background here, I literally have like a full set of all nine seasons of Destiny. And essentially what we wanted to do was decide if this game was even worth it before we got into the podcast game, right? And after spending 3 months playing it and having an amazing launch weekend, having FFG kind of come out and talk a little bit about how they have a different design mechanic for this game, how they've got more support, and they've also reached out and Asmodee is actually giving them help on how to distribute product, even though there's some product shortages right now, that's a different discussion that we'll have. So traditionally what we've done with our X-Wing podcast is traditionally we've always kind of talked a little bit about how to keep the podcast more informational. How do we keep this open to newer players? You know, do we have some competitive things? And tonight what I wanted to do is just kind of kick the podcast off by introducing you to some of the segments and some of the topics that we're going to be talking about a little bit here going forward, as well as introduce you to the crew. So, JJ, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to Planning Phase, and tell us what excites you about getting into Star Wars Unlimited.
Well, I used to play Magic for quite a bit back in the day before, well before X-Wing, and I enjoyed that for a little bit, but I never really got into that competitively. I've always dabbled in different types of card games. I'm a big board gamer myself, and one of the things I liked were like deck builders. There's a board game that I like that kind of combines the card building aspects with like adventure and stuff, and that's Clank, which is a really fun board game where you get to build your deck as you're going along in adventures. So I've always liked that particular genre. I'm very, very much into Star Wars, and back in the day I used to play the old school trading card game back in like the late 90s, where my brother used to collect that as well. And then when I first read about this, I was actually in the process of also reading into Larkana, which is the Disney deck builder that came out before this came out, and I actually do play that quite a bit as well. And when I started reading up on how Star Wars Unlimited works, it definitely piqued my interest, and it wasn't really until they started showing the different commanders and how the builds come out that really just piqued my interest for the deck building aspect of it and all the different things that you can build up for it. And that's what really grabbed my attention from the game. Since then, I played quite a lot of games of Unlimited, and I gotta say, it's nothing like I've ever played. No other deck builder comes close to the style that this game has. So
awesome. Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself, why you got into the game, and what you're excited about.
So, unlike you guys, I don't have a card game history at all. Not terribly appealing to me. I mean, I guess I played, like, the Game Boy version of the Pokemon trading card game when that came out in, like, 96 or whatever. And I played, like, Keyforge semi-competitively, and that was pretty fun. But that's... It's a card game, yes, but not... It's not like you're building decks, right? Like you just buy a random deck and that's what you have to get. So I was not interested in this game at all until everyone in X-Wing is just like, we're playing this game. And they might kill off X-Wing. They might not. I don't know. X-Wing's definitely slowed. So I picked this up and I played it. And I'm like, this game's a lot better than it has any right to be. Damn it. I'm going to have to get into this. And then luckily there's like a fairly substantial scene right in Southeast Michigan where I'm at right now. So that helps. I'm, you know, going to, I run events every Monday. I go to another store pretty religiously every Tuesday. And then occasionally Friday, Sundays, I'm out at other stores playing events. Did a lot of four pre-release events. So I've been playing a lot. It's very fun.
Well, awesome. So I'm Chris, and if you didn't know me from the other podcasts, I'm one of the originators for the Planning Phase Syndicate X-Wing podcast that we have. We have currently decided to keep the name for our Swoo podcast. I will be changing our logo up a little bit to add in some of the icons and different things to kind of distinguish us a little between the two different podcasts. I've been podcasting for almost 10 years on and off, debating on some of the stuff was not board game related beforehand. So don't Google my name or look it up because it had nothing to do with board games. So just stay out of that unless you care to really dig into me. But I grew up, playing cards my whole life. That was just something we did a lot. When we used to go to church and play euchre, that was like the thing in Michigan and Ohio to play. And we always made it like a competitive thing. So it was just is what it is. But I anyway, a long story short is I got into Destiny a year and a half before they ended Destiny. Super collected it, insanely hardcore, played it all the time, started attending competitive events. And that turned out to be like what I enjoyed was that competitive deck building piece that Destiny had. When they canceled Destiny, I moved into X-Wing in an effort to find a similar style game that allowed for unique building of squads and playing things that did not require me to paint miniatures, because I would not get into Legion because I just can't do the painting, and I can't afford to pay somebody to paint my miniatures for me. I just can't do it. So long story short is I got into Unlimited hesitantly. JJ dragged me in there. I won my first ever game against JJ, ironically enough, and he was like, damn, I don't know how you won that. I won my first game, and so it was a little bit of an ego boost. I think he probably let me win just so that he could drag me into it with him. And then I kind of fell in love with the game, and I've been playing it online since, like I said, roughly December, and then aggressively in person since then. So like I went to 3 pre-release events. I ran 1 pre-release event. I run my local organized play for the store that I attend. And I usually attend 1 to 2 other stores a week right now, currently, which some of that will probably slow a little bit as I've gotten most of my weekly play cards that I need. And I'll probably just focus on the stores in my area to help support the community. So it's a little bit about us. Like I said, our podcast is going to be designed to kind of talk in different avenues, right? So we are going to have a video portion as well as a audio portion. So if you are listening to this on audio, we do have a video portion. We would love for you to check out our YouTube. I've currently just finished separating the YouTube to have lower amount of playlists so that you have less to choose from. We do have an X-Wing podcast that we've been doing for over 2 years. You're welcome to go check any of those episodes out. They are definitely awesome. These two guys have been casting with me for over a year now. And I guess Alex has been almost a year. He's not quite at a year, but he's pretty close. Is it over a year?
Okay. Yeah, because I got it pre-world.
Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, it's been about a year. So yeah, so it's so these guys have been on the same journey as me in our other podcast. So what I wanted to do tonight is kind of introduce you to the structure of our show, right? So our goal is to have roughly an hour and a half long show at the latest. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of pick topics every week. And so like our X-Wing podcast was always very topic focused. We always tried to do something where we did a little bit of instruction. We tried to do some training. We talk about competitive stuff. And this event, since there's no competitive, like real competitive tournaments, we won't 100% probably start covering those. But I have a whole bunch of different topic segments that we talk about that we're going to get into. So the first one is called Padawan's Pilgrimage. And I pick these names and I don't care. And JJ and Alex will probably shoot me later because nobody got input into this before I posted this. They had opportunity to read. They just didn't read the document earlier today.
So much alliteration.
But anyway, the idea behind it is we wanted to have different segments to kind of break up our topics. And we do that because, you know, each one of us brings a different strength to the show. Alex has a very big knack for deck building. He loves that piece of it. He's very if we want something weird or that works competitively, we go to Alex. So in X-Wing, that was kind of the same way. Alex had some very janky scum that won for a whole year, was really hard to kill. And that's until he told everybody how to beat it. So Alex is kind of our competitive style guru and our deck building guru, right? JJ comes to us with a lot of like experience outside of here. JJ has a background in helping people and training people and teaching people. And that's one of JJ's biggest strengths. So Padawan's Pilgrimage is going to be JJ's specialty, whereas he is going to be it's like our Academy 101, right? But it's going to be essentially where we talk about strategy. We talk about getting into the game, understanding what each aspects do, helping understand construction ratio of cards, what makes a good leader, that type of a thing. Our next one is our Holocron Chronicles, and that's going to be more of our competitive piece. We are going to do some competitive discussions, but we will not focus our whole podcast on competitive play. I promise you, folks, that is one thing. It would behoove us to not do that because there's so much more that you could play this game. This doesn't have to be competitive. We don't all have to be tryhards 24/7. And I can tell you, Alex, I have a deck list that's really a fun one that probably is not very competitive that you'll see a little bit later. But essentially, our Holocron is going to be talking a little bit about how each of the different pillars, we're going to go into like extreme detail where we can do what's an underwhelming combo. For example, I'm trying to think, the Han Millennial Falcon. I never knew this until last week, but I found out with Han's ability allows you to add the resource and then you have to burn your one resource when you ready your cards. Well, the way it works is you can use the resource to keep Millennial Falcon on the table and then burn the one you just use for him. So it's like a free resource to keep Millennial Falcon on the table 24/7. It's crazy. I did not know that existed or that was even a thing. But Alex finds a lot of those cool little combos and he'll help us talk through some of that as well. We will have what I'm going to call the Art of War. This one is specifically dedicated to Thrawn, not the other guy, because Thrawn is the best character in the game that you can play, but not the one that will get you the most results. But that's going to be our meta discussion, as well as our tournament results discussion once we get into it. We'll do a little bit of deck analysis. We are not going to be the guy that does a million deck tech videos. That's just not us. I don't have the time, nor do we probably need a million deck tech videos, right? Like, everybody can do those. So we're going to be talking more about the results. The Galactic Gazette is going to be our discussion points for any news, spoilers that come out. Hopefully, within the next month, we'll be able to get on FFG's radar. They'll start sending us some spoilers. That's kind of one of our missions that we're going to hopefully get, is some new spoil cards. And then the last one I'm going to call Droids Diaries. And I know you're all going to laugh, but that is essentially, that's our lighthearted segments, right? We're going to be talking about what is off meta decks, what are local decks. You guys see, even, I'll tell you what, you can even come up with crazy user submitted decks that you want us to review, or you can come up with challenges that you want us to do to build a deck. So one of the challenges I was told by my brother was, how do you build a Hera deck that might be good? So we're going to look at one of those tonight, and then Alex is going to tear it apart and say, well, this is why it won't be good. But that's the type of thing that you'll be able to submit kind of to us for that. So guys, any thoughts, discussion points, anything you wanted to add that I might have missed?
So much alliteration. But no, I'm excited to talk about this game. There's a whole bunch of us that, you know, we're running the events over in Southeast Michigan. We're just having a lot of fun doing it. A lot of different local metas. It's kind of insane, actually. There's some people out in Warren, and they're just like all this super heavy aggro, and you come over closer to me in Livonia, you got like Vader's like everywhere, super cool. You know, Howl, you got like Palpatine meta, and it's super cool. It's fun. It's I'm excited to just talk about stuff.
Yeah. JJ, thoughts?
I love Chris's comments. I think they're a great gaze upon what's coming up for the podcast, and I'm looking forward to what we got coming up.
Awesome. So one of the things that I wanted to do is, and we talked about this because part of the X-Wing community and thing that we would do is we would talk about like things that we like to play, things we love to do, right? And so one of the segments for our Droid Diary segment, which I don't know, maybe I'm not sold on that word, but I like it. I like thinking of R2-D2 writing in a book and then C-3PO coming behind him arguing about why R2 shouldn't write that and what and how many languages he should write it in. But one of the things is what decks are you currently playing? What decks do you find fun? So this is a deck, and this was a challenge that I got. My brother and I were talking a lot, and he really likes Hera. Hera is one of his favorite leaders. It's amazing from the show, right? Like, I mean, we just literally got to see Hera in person in a live action show. And I don't know, like, so there's a lot of love for Hera and for the Rebels. So I put together a deck that has literally every Spectre card I could find, like every single one of them. Where some of them is where I probably only have two Ezras and I probably should actually have three Ezras. I probably need a more Ezra and less R2-D2. But I kind of decided to throw as much of the stuff as I could into it. So this is the deck that I have. And I actually, originally, my first iteration of this did not have Rebel Assault in it. And I did not realize that a lot of the Spectre units have Rebel on them. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but they did. So Rebel Assault actually works. I never knew that. Like, I only play Rebel Assault with Leia mainly, or sometimes with Sabine if I'm running green Sabine. But I did not know how well it worked out with Spectre. So I don't know, guys. We've never done one of these before. How do we want to start? Do we want to run down the card list like we would in X-Wing? Do we want to just kind of let people look at it? What do we want to do?
Let's run out the card list just for people who may not be familiar with the cards.
All right. So we have Rebel.
The audio listeners too, you know.
All right. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah. I always forget about the audio listeners. So Rebel Assault. That is the card. I have three Rebel Assaults, three chop. Do I need to tell them what the cards are too? Are we going to go over? Okay. So I have three choppers. Yeah. I have three shoot firsts, three R2-D2s, three Sabines, three Carabas, three Spark of the Rebellions, three Asteroid Sanctuaries, three resupplies, which I can already hear Alex groaning in his headset. I only have two Ezras because I needed a few that I needed just two of. And I, you could hear me out. We could change the Ezra for like a change of heart, have three Ezras if we really wanted. So we could kind of play around with that. I find Ezra personally is less effective with some of these than the other ones are. But anyway, then I have three Falcons, which is definitely not a Rebel ship, but three. I do have three Falcons in there, three Layways, three Wing Leaders, three Kanans, two Home Ones, two Zebs, three Ghosts, one Change of Heart to be spicy, and one Home One to be spicy.
No Kallus. What kind of Spectre fan are you?
But does Kallus have Spectre? I don't think Kallus does. No. Have Spectre. That's the only reason he's not in there.
But he's green. He's neutral green. You could use him.
You could use him. I do agree with you. I like Kallus, and actually I like Kallus better than I like some of the other cards for five in here. But the problem I have, Zeb specifically, the biggest problem I have with Kallus, though, is that he's not the Spectre piece. And so to go with the theme of the deck, it was harder to throw him. I didn't know what to cut to throw him in there. Right. Maybe I guess you could throw cut one of the ghosts, I guess, down and throw a Zeb in there. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's really hard for me to want to throw Kallus in there. Personally,
yeah, that's definitely a Hera deck. Do you want me to like just critique it a little bit?
Sure. Sure. Why don't you give me your thoughts? And then again, the idea is this is still, it does not need to be super competitive, but we could probably take out some of the stuff. The goal is still to remain as true to that Spectre piece as possible.
Yeah, for sure. I would swap one ghost out for another change of heart, honestly. Just because the ghost is fine. It's just six resources, a little bit rough for what it seems like this deck is trying to do, even with the resupplies. And the resupplies are kind of weird because it's not like trying to ramp into something super high. The Carabast probably you can get away with at two. Just because you don't have a lot of super high health units in here. I mean, you got like Bright One is nice. Kanan, obviously Home One. So just maybe trim that a little bit. You can turn that into like a Kallus. You definitely need a third Ezra, though. Ezra's unreal. Probably like double Waylay, triple Ezra. Probably don't need three shoot firsts. just like small random tweaks. There has been a lot of talk of like a mono green Hera as well, because command is pretty good, and because Hera can get the out of aspect Spectre, so just having access to like Krell and command attack pattern delta, not so much, but command is very good, and you can also resource it if you're trying to ramp, kind of like resupply.
Fair enough. I would lose a little bit. I think you lose the Falcon. And the issue I found is that I didn't have a lot of, I mean, I guess you could just go all green ships. Is that what you would do? Because if you're going to change it to go double green, you're going to have to dump the Falcon immediately.
Yeah, like, you need the Star Vipers.
Yeah. And I guess it's probably not as imperative because, you know, it's a Falcon in the long run.
I mean, Falcon's great. Don't get me wrong.
Oh. And you're probably right. I found that resupply is less of a favorite of mine than I thought it would be. Like, I've really liked resupply. I hated it at first, then I liked it, and now I'm kind of back on the same page. I agree with you on the Waylay. Like, I hate Waylay as a card. I just don't like it, personally. But it's in this deck, there's the minimal removal aspect. That was one thing I really... I need it for that turn three or turn four if they play something insanely crazy. Like... And I have done this
triple shoot first and triple Asteroid Sanctuary and triple Spark of the Rebellion. Like, you should probably get away with double Waylay, especially if you have like a second change of art.
Fair enough. Yeah, and I do like Change of Heart quite a bit. I will not go away from 3 Spark of the Rebellion, just as an FYI. Like, that card is my actual, that's one of my favorite cards in Rebels. So I love that card.
JJ, you got any thoughts on?
My thoughts was, I got to check his aspect again, but maybe General Dodonna to help boost him in exchange for some of the resupply they have on there.
Yeah, Dodonna's not a bad call. I mean, it's a 4/4 for 4 and just get basically everything but like your Falcons +1/+1.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, like, you know, I do like that you have the 3 ghosts in there, mainly because I'm a firm believer of having a solid Space Force to help out on that end. You know, even if your opponent is not going very space heavy, just having that threat on the other side forces your opponent to kind of go and adjust there, and that kind of relieves the pressure on your ground units and your Spectre units there. So I do like having a solid space unit there, but not at the expense at the overall flow of your deck. So I would probably would sacrifice the Falcon over the Ghost, even though the Falcon is definitely better. But yeah, definitely Dodonna is my thought to add in there, just to buff up your ground units a bit more.
Would you just put 2 Dodonnas in there then?
I would, yeah.
No Kallus, but my theme. I mean, also Kallus is just a solid card.
Yeah.
Kallus is better than Zeb in all aspects, but it's just really, it's really hard. Like, I don't know, Zeb should just have Ambush on him, but it would probably be too good in Red Sabine decks.
Should also probably toss in like some Echo-based Defenders or so, because you don't have any Sentinel other than Bright Hope, which is the wrong Sentinel for this.
Yeah.
So that would help protect cards that need to stick around, like Ezra and Zeb.
Yeah. And a lot of the all right, and you're right, and the Bright Hope, I think for the 2/4, I think the 4 points is still decent, and it gives me that Sentinel option. But the biggest thing is the when played piece. That's what I like about it. And I've done this before, and I've been able to pick up like a Chopper. So I've already activated with a Chopper or an R2-D2, and then I've used that to pick them up and then be able to play them again if I have 5 resources and I don't have anything else to play. Then I get the double the when played effect, and then I get the on attack effect, right? You know, so I don't know. That's my take on it. I've played this. I've won 2 out of the 4 games that I've played with this. So, I mean, it's not horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible deck. But you're right, the Sentinel is probably the bigger call.
Yeah.
So, all right, anything else about this deck before we move on to Alex's for fun deck of the week?
For fun deck of the week.
No, let's take a look at that deck.
Silly, silly deck. So this is a green Ahn deck I brewed up this morning. And then went to a tournament, best of 3. I believe I 2-0'd the first round, 2-1 the second, and 1-2'd. Unfortunately, the last round to come in second. I think some of the mistakes were just literally making this deck now and not realizing which cards were a little bit more important than the others. So this deck has triple Greedo, triple Battlefield Marine, such an incredible card, 3/3 for 2. You got triple Patrolling V-Wing, triple Leia, double Alliance X-Wing, triple Echo-Based Defender, triple Homestead Militia, because there's not enough Sentinel, triple Resupply, triple Ezra, triple Falcon, double Waylay, double You're My Only Hope, because I only own 2 somehow, triple Bright Hope, triple Chewbacca, which was actually super clutch, triple Rogue Squadron Skirmisher. No one really plays that card, but man, it's really good in this deck. It lets you pull a card back in your hand, which is critical for a Han deck. And also, it's just an ambush that you can pull off of, like, Ewing Reinforcement. Speaking of, triple Ewing Reinforcement, triple Han Solo, and double Home 1, because I only own 2 as well. But that one's a little bit more reasonable than only owning two. You're my only hopes.
You don't own three of those?
I do not own three of those. I only own two K2SOs as well. It kills me.
Really? Wow.
I have one fallen lightsaber.
Well, I got some stuff to sell you, baby.
I have like seven Landos if you ever need a Lando.
No, I don't need a Lando. I definitely don't need a Lando.
You're talking to the guy who opened six super laser blasts.
Holy crap. Jeez.
That was like my first 10 legendaries. Six of them were super laser blasts.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard.
It was interesting for sure. So yeah, this is just a really crazy deck. Han, it allows you to do a bunch of just nutso things. And then with a resupply, which I got off in more than half of my games, resupply on turn two lets you ramp Han out on turn three and then drop a seven card, either Ewing Reinforcement or Han Solo on turn three, which is really, really huge tempo swing. That's very rough to play against.
Yeah. It's pretty nice, though, when it does happen.
Over 50% of my games probably shouldn't have been 50, but like I, you know, try to mulligan for it as much as I can.
So is Greedo in there just as so you have a one cost? Is that the only reason you have Greedo in there?
Greedo is great because three attack for a one cost. And also he really helps even out Ewing reinforcements. So you can do like a four cost like Bright Hope or like Falcon, Ezra, Greedo, you know, for double threes or like you know, Echo Base Defender. You know, whatever. So it actually works out really well. I actually bumped him up to three. I only had two copies, and I'm like, no, he's actually super good in this deck. It's a, it's really tricky to pilot, but it's very fun. It just locks everything down behind like walls of sentinels.
That's pretty good.
And you know, turn three. Or for Han Solo unit, just that whatever they put down, you immediately kill because they're not going to have more than six health. Even if they bring out like a Krennic or a Boba or something on their five resources, you swing once and then you just drop the Han and they're dead. It's super silly. Yeah.
So ideally, when you're starting off your like your initial hand, what are the cards that you're thinking that need to be in your hand in order for you to have a good game?
The best opening is Leia and Greedo because you could drop Leia, ready a resource, and then drop Greedo. But I, you know, you try to have resupply in your hand, and then also a seven cost because if you don't have a seven cost, resupply is basically useless. So just trying to, I've resourced, actually it's tricky resourcing too, actually, because with the Rogue Squadron Skirmishers and Home Ones, you pull stuff out of your discard pile. So what you play into resources actually matters. There's a lot of times where sense. I'll play like Home One and then pull out, actually I play Home One at nine resources and then pull out a Bright Hope. And then locks space down from having someone else, like Fire Spray or something, running into Home One. It's really, really interesting what kind of different pairings you get. So I tend to resource more events than I do units, unless I know that I've got other units that pull them out of the discard, then I just start resourcing the other ones. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've actually played that X-Wing, probably once. Once.
Wow.
But you can pull it out with Home One for free if you got nothing. Or your Skirmisher, which is why I actually have a fair amount of two cost. And I love me some humble V-Wing action. Han tends to suffer from not having cards if he uses ability a lot. So having a V-Wing in there just nets you some extra ones.
That's fair, yeah.
This was less for fun and more like, this is what I want to play semi-competitively to like whip out my Han deck again.
Yeah. And I like this. This has a lot of variability to it. I will say it's probably, like, I don't know. I feel Han is an underrated leader right now, but I also feel that Han is going to get better cards in the next two sets, and I think that that's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, I would tell you I like to run my Han showcase. Like, that would be really cool to be able to do. And I have not put Han on the table, other than I did build a Twin Suns deck that had Han in it, but then somebody didn't have a deck when they showed up, so I gave them my Han Twin Suns deck and let them play with it. So I didn't even get to play Han even then.
This is the first time I'm like messing around with Han. It is so fun.
Yeah,
I love these wild decks like this.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the theme. Like, I like Han too. I like Thrawn a little bit better, just because I've always really liked Thrawn, and I like Thrawn's mechanic. But Han has the ability. Han's a gambler, and like, so that's like for me. Like, so, I guess side story. When I play Arkham Horror, I tend to shift towards the gambling options, and I tend to shift towards that green aspect. The Arkham Horror LCG. For the pure fact of, I just like the crazy randomness. Like, you could just be like so angry that you want to throw your deck across the room, or you could be super excited that you scored, you know, 8 resources in one turn that you didn't even need, you know, that type of thing. So I like the Han as the gambler, and I'm actually a little bit more surprised people haven't moved towards Han as a gambler, given how much people are buying the game right now and just like gambling on here. I'm going to spend $200 on a box, and who knows what I'm going to get.
He's difficult to pilot.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, because my nephew tried. I built one for a deck for my nephew, like a Han Red deck, and it just, he couldn't, the resource tempo and when do you resource, the extra one is just so, there's so much more thought that goes into it than like any of the other decks, you know. I don't know. It's still fun.
Yeah, it's not intuitive, to put it that way.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, we're coming up close to the end of the show. I don't want to spend a lot of time. This is our 0 hour show. We will have a new episode next week for any of you who are listening. Right now, we're keeping our channel together. So we're going to have our X-Wing and our Swoo podcast all on one distribution network, because it seemed easier that way. We might separate them in the future, but as we kind of wrap up, guys, like, what's kind of your last few thoughts? Like, why should people listen to our show over other show? JJ, what do you think?
Well, for us, you know, we carry the philosophy of what we bring in our other podcasts, in our X-Wing podcast, is that we want to cater more towards the newer players or the people who are thinking about starting the game. We want to, you know, introduce you into the basics of the game, to the fun parts of the game, not necessarily the most competitive parts of the game, mainly so that way you can, you know, try out the game on your own, try to get a good understanding how to play the game, and go from there. You know, if you decide you want to go more competitive, you know, you can definitely go that way and explore that route. But ultimately, if you're not having fun with the game, then what's the point? So we want to appeal to those players to come and try out the game, have some fun, and that's what we're here for.
Alex, what about you?
Yeah, I think you just get a nice mix of, like, these things are pretty good competitive, but also like an insight into more of like the jankier, more fun, more budget friendly kind of things like that. And if anyone's like has played me in Southeast Michigan, like, they know just how wacky some of my stuff can get. So it's nice to just be able to share that with people who I don't immediately play.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, so much for joining me tonight. And thank you all as listeners for joining us as well. We like I said, we have tons of content planned. Like, I had thought about doing what we did with X-Wing and just like recording 5 episodes and releasing them all at once. But I mean, the guys and I get together every week, and it just seems silly to record a bunch of episodes to put out when I could just do them live. So I don't. If you're newer to the show and you want to follow our X-Wing podcast, it's the same thing. What we would ask is, if you go over to Twitch, we air every night at 10 p.m. Eastern time for our SWU podcast. So our SWU podcast will air directly after our X-Wing podcast. We are in the 10 p.m. Eastern slot. We know that's probably a little late for most people, but hey, come join us. Have a cocktail or a mocktail, whatever floats your boat. No coffee, because unless you're going to stay up all night. But have a little bit of something. Come join us. We plan on having an amazing time, and we really want you to be a part of our community. So with that being said, thank you all. Have a good night. We'll see you on the Flippity Flop.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.